Good morning, Acts chapter 25. Please, Acts 25. Mickey, thank you. Thank you. We need to still keep Mickey in our prayers. He has some health issues that he's facing now. And so let's keep praying for Mickey. But your song and testimony blessed our hearts today. We thank you for that. We thank you for that. We really do. What a testimony of God's grace. It's just wonderful. Wonderful. Acts chapter 25, verse 1. Now when Festus had come to the province, after 3 days, he went up from Caesarea to Jerusalem. Then the high priest and the chief men of the Jews informed him against Paul, and they petitioned him, asking a favor. Note that. They didn't ask for justice. They asked the governor for a favor against him, against Paul, that he would summon him to Jerusalem while they lay in ambush along the road to kill him. But Festus answered that Paul should be kept at Caesarea, and that he himself was going there shortly. Therefore he said, "Let those who have authority among you go down with me and accuse this man to see if there is any fault in him." And when he had remained among them more than 10 days, he went down to Caesarea. And the next day, sitting on the judgment seat, he commanded Paul to be brought. When he had come, the Jews who had come down from Jerusalem stood about and laid many serious complaints against Paul. But listen to this, which they could not prove. While he answered for himself, neither against the law of the Jews, nor against the temple, nor against Caesar, have I offended in anything at all. But Festus, wanting to do the Jews a favor, answered Paul and said, "Are you willing to go to Jerusalem and there be judged before me concerning these things?" And Paul said, "I stand at Caesar's judgment seat, where I ought to be judged. To the Jews, I've done no wrong, as you very well know. For I am an offender, or have committed, if I am an offender, or have committed anything deserving of death, I do not object to dying. But if there is nothing in these things of which these men accuse me, no one can deliver me to them. I appeal to Caesar." Then Festus, when he had conferred with the council, answered, "You have appealed to Caesar. To Caesar you shall go." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for our worship this morning. We thank you for the choir, and we thank you for the praise team. We thank you for Mickey's song and his word of testimony, how it's encouraged us today. And so now, Lord, it's time to look to your word. And I pray today that as we consider your word together, that you would speak to each heart today as we talk about this passage today. In your name we pray. Amen. A few weeks ago, I began preaching about the life of the Apostle Paul. I really didn't know where this series would lead us, but basically, I have enjoyed really looking at the life of Paul in his last years. So basically what we've been talking about over the last few weeks would be the last days or last years of the great Apostle Paul. Now these last years of his life were pretty much spent in prison. All the missionary journeys had been completed. All his work in establishing churches had been, you know, done. And so he's not really doing a lot of those things because now he's been in prison. Paul had been before the courts of the Sanhedrin in Jerusalem. He had been before the court of Felix. Now he is standing before the court of Festus. And then on another occasion that we looked at before, he stands before King Agrippa to give his testimony. Now, what do we know about this guy called Festus? Well, we know he played on Gunsmoke. No, not really. That's not... I know what you were thinking. That's not the Festus, okay? It's a different guy. So, anyway, we know... We really don't know a lot about him. All we know is that he has come now to Caesarea, the capital of the Roman province of Judea. This is where... You know, the king, the governor, this is where everybody lived who was in authority over Judea. We know that he only sat in that position for 2 years. And so now Festus has come. He's the new governor. Felix was the governor for some 12 years, but they've shipped him back to Rome because he was very incompetent. And so now they have a new governor. So, what I want to talk about, first of all, what I want you to see here is this assassination plot. What this new governor Festus decided to do, he says, well, if I'm going to be over Judea here, he says, I need to make this 60-mile trip from Caesarea to Jerusalem. And, you know, I need to kind of, you know, pay tribute to this religious group here in Jerusalem, to the Sanhedrin, to the high priest, and to the ruling body of the religion of that day. And so that's what he does. And so what these religious leaders do, the Sanhedrin, they wanted a favor from this new governor. And really what they had this plot all schemed up to assassinate the Apostle Paul when he traveled from Caesarea to Jerusalem. And so what they thought was, this was a new governor. They thought they could kind of explain to him the situation and that they would go along, that he would go along with this plan. We see, here's what you need to understand. The sovereignty of God intervened.
Yes.
God protected the Apostle Paul. Festus did not give the okay for Paul to be transferred from Caesarea to Jerusalem. But they had this plot together. That's the favor they wanted. They didn't want justice. If they wanted justice for Paul, Paul would have been released. But what they wanted a favor from this king. Do us a favor and get rid of Paul. See what Festus had inherited as governor? He had inherited the mess the former governor had left. Because Felix wouldn't do anything about Paul, so he left him in prison for 12 years. Now they have this new governor, and they want him to make a judgment on the great apostle Paul. And then you see here the accusations that were presented in verses 6 through 7 here. The three accusations were false. Paul was not a threat to Rome. Paul was not a heretic. Paul was not one who defiled the temple in Jerusalem. Those were the three charges that they made against him. But the Bible tells us clearly here that they had no proof for any of these accusations that they made against the Apostle Paul. Now think about this. This had been eating at them for 12 years. Here Paul had been in prison for 12 years. The governor, Felix, wouldn't do anything about Paul. And so now they have this new governor. And so, it's just eating at him. They hadn't forgot about Paul. And so they said, we need you to do us a favor. Get rid of this guy called Paul. We'll take care of it. We'll assassinate him. We'll take care of it. And we'll intervene. Take care of this problem. You see, folks, what you see here is a principle. There's not, this is historical narrative. It's what it is. And so what you've got to do, you've got to look underneath here to see God at work. I'm asking you today, what's eating at your heart this morning? What has you in bondage today? Do you understand the bondage of sin here? That hatred they had for Paul, that bitterness they had for Paul, that jealousy for Paul kept eating and eating away at them, and they would not let it go. What is it you're not going to let go? What do you need to let go of today? What's eating at your heart today? They would not let it go. The bondage of sin, how sin can change us. And His amazing grace is the only thing that can set us free. It is. So you see the absence of proof in verse 7 through 11 here. The Bible makes it clear here that they had no witnesses. There's no evidence that's persuaded. What Festus wanted to do, all he was interested in, you know, he wanted to get on the good side of these religious leaders. And so he, you know, maybe he could do them a favor. Maybe he wasn't going to do them a favor. But that's all he was thinking about here. So there's no real proof of what they've charged against Paul. And then you see the appeal. What was the appeal? Paul said, what I'm going to do, I'm going to appeal my case to Caesar. Why didn't he do that 12 years ago? And I'll explain that. Why didn't he do it 12 years ago? Why did he stay in that prison 12 years? Why is it only now that he says, okay, I will appeal to Caesar? And so what the governor Festus said is this. He says, okay then, off to Rome you go. So he made his appeal. Festus had no other thing he could do. Really what Paul should have been acquitted in the case, but you know he wasn't. Listen to a scripture in Acts 23 and verse 11. Listen to this. Now this is a few chapters ahead before 25. Listen to verse 11. But the following night, the Lord stood by him, Paul. And we all need the Lord to stand with us. And said, be of good cheer, Paul. For as you have testified for me in Jerusalem, so you also bear my witness at Rome. You know what you see here? You see the sovereignty of God at work. Why didn't Paul say to Festus here, okay, I'll just go to Jerusalem? Why didn't he say to Felix, the governor before, well, I'll just go to Jerusalem? Because Paul knew that God wanted him in Rome. Friend, you may not understand what you're going through. You may not understand your circumstances. I know many times in my life, I don't, you know, things I don't understand. I can't see it. I don't know. But here's what I believe. I believe in the sovereignty of God, and I believe in His providence. Amen. Amen. The strong truth of this passage is God is sovereign, and in the providence of God, He works through the events of human affairs. That's exactly what He does. Paul knew God wanted him in Rome. Paul also knew this. Paul knew that he would not get a fair trial in Jerusalem. He knew that. Paul also understood this, that when they escorted him from Caesarea to Rome, that he would have the Roman guards to protect him from any assassination plot that these leaders had against him. So again, you see God working in this situation. And God is bringing this about. As I got into this series, what I had to keep asking myself was this. Why is it we have all these chapters in Paul's last days, in his latter life? Why is it do we have all this about him going before the Sanhedrin and giving his defense, and then he goes before Felix and he gives a defense, and then he goes before Festus and he gives a defense, and then he goes before Agrippa and he gives his defense? Why do we have all this going on? What does that have to do with the Bible and the Apostle Paul? Here's what the Holy Spirit's showing us. The Holy Spirit is showing us through the inspiration of the Scripture that God is in control. Amen. He was in control of the Apostle Paul's life and what was going on in this situation. Do you know who the Caesar was when Paul said, "I'm going to appeal to Caesar in Rome"? Nero. Now, you know about Nero. Nero was a bad guy. He really was. If you read anything about the history of Nero, then you understand that he had one lover after another lover after another lover after another lover. I mean, that was his life. The last lover in his life, you know what he did? She was expecting his child. Nero got mad at her, kicked her in the stomach. She died, and the baby died. This guy was just, he's a bad dude, okay? In 64 AD, Nero set fire to the city of Rome. And you know what he did? He blamed the Christians for it. He said these Christians set fire. The persecution against Christians under Nero was great. At the Colosseum in Rome, Christians were burned at the stake. They were thrown to the lions. They were treated as sport. I mean, this is Nero. Paul says, "I'm going to go and stand before Nero." What do you see here, folks? You see the testimony of a life of integrity. You see the testimony of a godly life. You see the courage of conviction. You see the courage of one who says, "I will go to Caesar and I will trust God for the outcome." Paul was released from prison in Rome. He finally got to Rome. But he was released from prison in 62 AD. In 67 or 68, some say 69 AD, you know what happened to Paul? Paul was beheaded in Rome. He became a martyr for his faith in Jesus Christ. Now let's talk a little bit about this man Festus, and then I'll be through. What does Festus represent to us? Here's a man who thought that he could avoid a decision that he needed to make. You remember what Felix said? We talked about that last week. Felix said, "Now, when I have a more convenient time, you know, I'll talk to you about this." You remember what Agrippa said? Agrippa said, "Paul, you almost persuade me to become a Christian." You know, he wanted to put that decision off. And here you find another man who thought by avoiding this decision that everything would be okay. You cannot avoid the decision that we all have to make for Jesus Christ. You can't. I mean, this is a pressing issue. It's an issue that is before us. It's an issue here in this story. It is an issue in the Bible that confronts us over and over and over again. And that is, today is the day of salvation. Now is the time. Today, God's grace is here. We must not avoid this decision. But you see, that's what he represents. What he represents is all those who think that they can avoid this decision about Jesus Christ. I'll think about it later. When I get my life together, when I get straightened out, then I'll think about it. Well, you know, God, at the end of the way, then, you know, God's going to, you know, He'll make an exception for me and He'll, and all that. No. Folks, it comes down to what we do with Jesus Christ. Here's a man in this story, the great Apostle Paul, that shows us a great example of what it means to have faith in God, to believe in God, to trust God for the outcome. He didn't know what was going to happen here, but he was going to trust God. What do you need to trust God with this morning? Are you willing to trust Him with outcome? Maybe it's a report you're waiting on. Maybe it's a situation in your life that you won't resolve. Maybe it's another issue. What do you need to trust God with this morning? And to say, God, here it is. I believe in Your sovereignty. I believe in Your providence, and I'm going to trust You with it. Would you give that to Him today? If you need to trust Christ as your Savior, don't avoid this decision. We want to help you. Today is the day. Let's stand for our prayer. Lord, we just thank You for this passage of Scripture. And Lord, as we have been going through the life of the Apostle Paul, there's a lot of lessons here that we can learn in this Scripture. There's a lot of truth here. It's kind of truth that's beneath the surface. But Lord, we see Your hand at work. And Father, today I pray for those here today who need to understand and who need the encouragement to know that You haven't forgot about them. I pray that they could look through the circumstance and see Your hand at work. We thank You for Your grace. We thank You for Your providence. We thank You for Your sovereignty. Sometimes we can't see it. Sometimes we all struggle with it. Sometimes we all ask the question, why? But Lord, we know that we can trust You. And I pray today that we would trust You with whatever it is. Lord, today, whatever it is that's been eating at us, I pray that we would turn that over to You today. Sin can be a great bondage. It can keep us shackled. It can keep us tied down. It can keep us in prison. Lord, You came to give us freedom. And in Your grace, we can find that freedom. We can find a release from the bondage of sin. Lord, I pray we do that today. For those this morning who need to come and trust Jesus Christ, I pray that they would not avoid this decision, but they would understand that this is a decision that every person must make. And that is to trust You, to be saved, and to know Your forgiveness. In Your name we pray. Amen. Let's sing together, please.